What's
like a chitin sarah is the Gemara's example. One karam and one chitin, one sarah.
Chitin's over, oh, no, but not seeds.
It's
seeds of wheat and seeds of barley with
Where are we starting from, Rabbi Carr?
Okay, we're holding on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Give me 1 second. We're up to Rava Amar. Lamed Tes Amud Beis by Rava Amar. So it's around halfway down. Last word on the line is Rav Yaakov. So Rava Amar Hamani Rav Yaakov. So Rava is coming to answer a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah seems to say that if you do one extra mitzvah, meaning Lamashal, you have 50 Averis and 51 mitzvahs, then it's going to be good for you in this world and the next world. However, the Braisa seems to say that it'll only be good for you in Olam Haba, but in this world Hashem will sort of be purifying you, that way He could give you your full reward. So Rav Amar, no, really the Mishnah is Kipshuta. If you're a tzaddik, it'll be good for you in this world and the next world. What's from the Braisa that says it'll only be good for you in Olam Haba, but in this world Hashem will be purifying you? Hamani Rav Yaakov, that's Rav Yaakov, and Rav Yaakov's of the opinion that the Amar, that he says, Schar Mitzvah B'Hayam Alek, Rav Yaakov said you only get reward in the next world, not in this world. So our Mishnah holds you get reward in this world and the next world. But Rav Yaakov holds that Schar Mitzvah B'Hayam Alek, there is no reward in this world. Where's this Rav Yaakov? The Tanya. Rav Yaakov Omer, Ein l'chol kol mitzvah shaksuva b'Torah. There's no mitzvah that's written in the Torah. Shematan tzchar b'tzida. And then the Torah seems to say that you're going to get a reward in this world. She'ein tchias ha'meshim t'liyaba. But it doesn't mean that you'll get a reward in this world. Rather, it really means that you'll get the reward after tchias ha'meshim. L'mashal. B'kibad ava'im k'siv. It says by Kibbut Ava'im that you should have Arichas Yamim and Toiv. So Arichas Yamim means Olam Haba, and L'man Yitav Lach Pashup Shat would mean that it'll be good for you in this world.
Arichas Yamim is Olam Haba?
Yeah, so if you, so Rashi says, so let's take a look at Rashi for a second. Rava Amar, La'olam k'da'amar me'ikara. Really, like we said originally, Mativan Loi Bishar Paris. They'll be good for you and you'll get the Paris in this world, Vakarim, but the Ikar reward, Kayamas Loilam Haba. Vahachmas Nisan, and this Bryce said, Tanamarian Loi, that's bad for you in this world, that's only Rav Yaakov's opinion. But our Mishnah disagrees with Rav Yaakov, and our Mishnah holds that you will get reward in this world. What would Rav Yaakov say? She ain't Chis HaMesim Tluya Bo Isim Matan Schar, Loidiacha, to teach you, She ain't Matan Schar, L'olam haba. That according to Rav Yaakov, you only get schar l'olam haba, not in olam haza. So where do we see that? Because by kibbutz avim it says l'man yerichon yamecho l'man yitavach. B'shulach hakan k'sir, b'shulach hakan. Also, it's written l'man yitavach l'arach the yamim. They'll be good for you in this world, and you'll have an arichas yamim. So both by Kibbut Ava'im and by Shluch HaKain, it seems to be saying it'll be good for you in this world. But yet, Haresha Amalei Aviv, what would happen if your father would tell you, Alei Labira, go up to the top of the building, the top of the tower, of Aveli Gozolis, and go bring me the baby bird. Va'ol Labira, so I did Kibbut Ava'im, and I went up all the way to the top, v'shiluch ha'aim, and I did also shiluch ha'kan. So I did both mitzvahs that the Torah said will be good for me in this world. V'natal sabanim. So after I sent away the mother, then I took the babies. V'chazirase. And then when he was coming back from this high building, nafal v'mase. And then he would fall down and die. Heichon tamtev yom of shalzeh. Where is he having good deeds? Where is he having the hatava? The heichon yom of shalzeh. And let arichas yamim. El manita v'loch means la'olam shekulei toiv. Manita v'loch means to the world which is completely good. And manirichon yamecha means la'olam shekulei aruch. So therefore he's touching up that it can't be that the Torah says you're going to have atava and then the guy dies right away. So it must be that when it says l'man yitav loch, it means olam haba, and l'man yerichon yamecha also means the world, which is completely long, meaning also olam haba.
Both words would be the same thing?
So there's really different stages. Let's say after someone dies, let's say he goes to Gan Eden, and then eventually will be Olam Haba, which will last much longer. So therefore, it's referring to different stages. In the vernacular, people just call them both Olam Haba. They're really different stages. They're the stage which is not Kulei Aruch, which won't last for forever. Will only last a limited amount of time, which is Kulei Toiv. And L'man Yerichon Yamecha is referring to that stage. How did Yaakov know that could happen? Maybe the Torah says it'll be good for you, then the Torah is going to make sure, and it will never happen, that someone's going to be doing Kibud Avaim and Shuluch HaKan and then die right away. I'm the Gemara, what do you mean? Yaakov saw it happen. So what do you mean, maybe it will never happen? Rabbi Yaakov saw that it happened. So therefore, it must have happened. Take a look at Rashi. Maybe it will never ever happen. And they'll always make sure that you'll have arichas yamim in this world, and shnoisim, and it'll be good for you in this world. So my answer is no, but he saw it happen. So clearly, it's not. So clearly, based on that ma'aseh, Rabbi Yaakov interpreted the pasuk differently. In fact, the Gemara maybe b'dimu maharba avera hava. Maybe while he was going and doing kibud avaim and shalach hakan, it didn't protect him because he was being maharba avera, and therefore, and that's why he died right away. And the Gemara, no, if you were only being maharba avera, machshava ro, in a kodesh baruch hu mitzarfel l'meis, Hashem wouldn't have made him die right away just based on a machshava ro, because Hashem would only punish you like this and causing you to die only if you actually did a meisa. In fact, the Gemara of a dimu maharba avera could chavim hava, but maybe he was actually thinking not just down about any avera, he was thinking about avodah zarah, and since he was thinking about avodah zarah, we know over there that Hashem is mitzarfel. It said in the pasuk in Yechezkel, the man tfois as basically so believe them that even though Klai Yisrael only in their hearts thought about avodah zarah, still that's the ikar of avodah zarah is to believe in the avodah zarah, and then you would get punished. And the Gemara, iunami hachi ka'amar. If you would think you could get reward in this world, so then part of your reward should be a mile aga mitzvah soleh. Then the mitzvah should have protected him. Part of the chai should have been that Hashem would make sure you won't think about avodah zarah, and that way you won't get the punishment right away. So by the fact that the guy was doing the two mitzvahs, the Torah seems to say arichas yamim. And Hatava, so then it must be that it only meant in Olam Haba. Let's take a look at Rashi. V'dilma oisishah maharba avera haya. Maybe while he was doing these mitzvahs, he wasn't thinking about the mitzvah, he was thinking about an avera. V'lo ha'yalibu l'shamayim, and therefore he didn't have the proper kavana, and therefore it was a very shvacha mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah could not protect him and give him the arichas yamim. Umishani no machshava ro umaisa. If you do a bad machshava, but you're doing a good mitzvah umaisa liyasa, and you did not do any maisa avera, in a kadosh baruch hu mitzar for maisa, Hashem will not punish you for it. Will not consider it as if you did a maisa avera of lo'ilokas, and therefore Hashem wouldn't have caused such a terrible punishment of dying for just falling off the building just because of the bad machshava. Aye, maybe you're being machashav and avodah zarah, and it says l'man tefos shetafsu belibum heru. Avodah kachav, the Yidden just had machshavas and they believed in avodah zarah, but they didn't do any action. The bav mishtoyikra, and still Hashem would punish them. And maybe that's the reason over here that you got the punishment that you fell off the building. So the Teretz is that no, because the mitzvah protected you from that avera, Elamai, Rav Yaakov is of the opinion that you don't get any reward in this world. Back to the Gemara.
What building did he go on?
There was apparently a bird's nest at the top of some sort of tower or building. What?
Was there a private building?
Yeah, in other words, I thought it has to be a Mukam Hefker. So obviously, the place where the bird's nest was, you have to be Mafker.
The building was a Hefker building.
Or at least the spot where the bird's nest was, right?
So he Mafker, or possibly he
Mafker. Or the building was Hefker. Yeah, I don't know the individual details, but obviously, if there was a mitzvah shluch hakan, right? If you have a bird's nest on your porch, you have to be mafker that area of the porch, preferably in front of three people. You should announce it, and then after everyone's mekayim the mitzvah, then you could be zeichem it back. Okay, Zakti Gemara Vayter, but Amar Reb Elazar Shluchei Mitzvah Einan Nizakim. But there's a famous memory of Reb Elazar that if you're going to do a mitzvah, you won't get damaged. And look, this person was going to do two mitzvahs, a mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Ein and a mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. So how could it be that he died? And the Gemara Hashem Ali Chasson Shani, Reb Elazar only meant when you're going to do a mitzvah, then you won't get punished. But over here, he already did the mitzvah and he's on his way back. And therefore, they get punished.
The answer of having Avodah Zarah Machshava, is that still part of this?
Well, we already answered the Kasha of Avodah Zarah by saying that the mitzvah should have protected you, that at that time that you're doing the mitzvah, you shouldn't have been thinking about Avodah Zarah. If you got a reward in this world, part of the reward would be that. Part of the reward won't just be that you'll get an ice cream. Part of the reward will be that you won't do averis during that time, which will cause you to get a punishment. At least while you're doing the mitzvah, you shouldn't have been doing that avera.
And since
we don't know if he did or did not think about avodah zarah, but at the end of the day, since he did die, it must be that either he thought of avodah zarah or that there is no reward in this world. And Rebecca's own opinion that there is no reward in this world. Frank the Gemara.
Precious.
Yeah.
The problem with what we just said, does anyone comment to the fact that although he had completed Shluch HaKain, he had not completed Kibud Av V'Ein. His father said to him, bring back to me the birds, and he had not done that yet. He was in process of doing so, but it was not completed.
So excellent question. I mean, the father technically said, go get for me the birds, and he already got for it. But you're saying the intention of...
He handed it down to him, and then he went down, no?
Right, so the Tosfos read out that question.
Extremely long arms.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, it's an interesting answer. I wasn't going to speak this out, but Tosfos read speaks out that it must be that he climbed up, got the gazelles, dropped them down to his father, and then he was climbing down. I guess he didn't want to climb down while he was holding them because maybe it was a little treacherous and it would be hard to carry them while he was climbing down. And therefore the case was that his father was at the bottom, he was at the top, and he dropped it. So that would be a technical answer.
So what did Chassid Rasa mean?
He was climbing back down.
When does it stop the mitzvah? In other words,
Once he gave it to his father, he dropped it down to his father. His father got the gazelles, and the mitzvah finished. And now he's going back from the mitzvah, but now he's stuck at the top. Let's say he had to climb up the ladder to the top. So now he's at the top. But why is he at the top? Because he did the mitzvah, and now he's climbing back down.
Where's his return trip?
His return trip is going down the ladder.
But he says,
"In Zekim Lo that's what we're about to get up to. Fact the Gemara, Vamer Reb Elazar Shluchim Etz in Zekim Lo Ba Lichasim Lo Ba Chazi Rasim. Reb Elazar doesn't just say on the way there; even on the way back, Reb Elazar says. So over here, this is called part of a chazara. When you had to go up the ladder in order to do the mitzvah, so then the trip would be going back down, right? If you have to travel." To the mitzvah, so then the return would be traveling back to Cleveland. And for the Gemara, Sulam Ru'ul Hava, yeah. But over there, it was a very weak ladder. The Kviya Hazeka, in that case, it's very likely that you'll get damage on this very weak ladder. And even though in general won't get damaged, but if they do something which is risky, then you're not allowed to be semich on the nes of shluchei mitzvah in a nizaykin. And therefore, since you can't be semich on the nes, it's possible that even though you're a shliach mitzvah, you could still get damaged. In fact, there's a story that someone didn't just have a mitzvah, but a direct command from Hashem. Hashem told Shmuel, go anoint David HaMelech as a king. So it's obviously a mitzvah to listen to Hashem, to go anoint David as king. And it says in the pasuk, Vayomer Shmuel Eich Elech, Shmuel said to Hashem, I'm scared to go, v'shamo Shol v'hargani, because Shol will not be very happy that I'm taking away the melucha from him, and I'm giving it to David, and I'm scared that maybe, perhaps, I'm going to get killed. So we see that, well, how could Shmuel be scared? L'chayr, shluchim mitzvein and nizokin. It must be, if there's a very real danger, and over here there was a real danger, that that Shol was going to kill him, then even a shluchim mitzvah should get scared. And that's why Shmuel was scared. And then Hashem, I think, responded to him. If you look at the end of the pasuk, I have on the side of my Gemara, V'yem Hashem, Egos Bakar, Tiyepkech, B'yodcho, L'maitaz, B'yachashem, Basi. So Hashem said, okay, so do a trick. Take an animal as a carbon and say, oh, I'm just going to bring a carbon, but really what he's going to do is to do the mitzvah. I'll call upon him. We see from this pasuk that shluchim mitzvah should get scared in a case that it's dangerous. And so too over here, it was dangerous because it was a sulam ru'uah, and therefore shluchim mitzvah does not protect someone where it's extra dangerous. Hashem wasn't touching him. Hashem was telling him to do a mitzvah, and then Shmuel was saying that I'm nervous, and therefore Hashem gave him an eitz. You're saying how could Shmuel be nervous if the Ben Shalom gave him an eitz? So the Mefarshim discuss different things. Like, if you have a direct command from Hashem, but like you shouldn't be nervous. Yeah, excellent. The Mefarshim do deal with it and give many different pshatim and what he was. Like, it could be he wasn't actually scared. He was just trying to figure out what's the best way to do it, the safest way.
It was a test to see if he...
I don't know if it was a test, but yeah, different possible pshat.
Shmuel was a human being. He was not a robot. And, I mean, to be scared in that case is normal. I mean, he did what he was told to do, but he was honest with Reb Shalom. That's also.
I mean, or you could just say, technically speaking, what you're saying is, well, I don't think I'll be able to fulfill. Like, I'm very happy to listen, but I think Shol will kill me, and prevent me from doing it. So how can I fulfill it?
How could he go to the Kedah when Hashem said it's going to be for Yitzchak?
And
he didn't ask questions.
Yeah. So over there, it's not to ask questions, but over here, Kapshut. However, different Mepharshim deal with it. Al-Kalpan, we see from this Gemara that when it's dangerous, we don't have the rule of Shulchan Mitzvah in a Nizaykin.
Moshe Rabbeinu had
7 days worth of questions. Yeah, and possibly he was punished for that. But that's getting off topic. I'll call upon him. So our Gemara is saying shluchim mitzvah and zaykin does not apply if it's shliach hazeka. Amar Rav Yosef, emoli darshi achar lahai krok k'Rav Yaakov bar Brate loichata. If Acher, the famous Acher, who's Acher? We know Acher is Elisha ben Avuya, the Rebbe of Remeir, one of tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, but unfortunately he went off. So the Gemara says, if Acher would have darshened this pasuk like Rav Yaakov, that's Chai Mitzvah by Amalaka, Loichata, he would have never gone off. He wouldn't have done an Avera. Why? Why did Acher go off the Derech? But Acher Maihu, Ikad Amri Kiyai Gav Nechaza. This is what Acher saw. He saw some sort of ma'aseh that a father told his son to do Shluch HaKan, and he dashed in the pasuk that it would be good for you in this world, and then he saw he died. So he said, how could it be? It must be that no schar for mitzvahs. And then, since he was Yetzel Paradis, he heard that there's no hope for him, he went off. He said, it's not going to be good for me in this world. It's not going to be good for me in the next world. Then he went off. And he had a tremendous insight, and unfortunately he went off. Listen to the chutzpahs, hametorgamen chada. He saw one of the Asara Arugei Malchus, the tremendous Tzaddik chutzpahs, who was the metorgamon of Rabbi Gamliel, and he used to have a gorle davar achar, and he saw that his tongue was ripped out and being dragged along the streets by a chazer. Amar Pesha Hapik Margolius, this mouth that was only speaking divrei Torah, Yalachach Afar, should be getting dragged through the streets by a pig. Nafakot, then he said, it can't be that there's a Rebbein Shalom, and then he went off the Derech. But if he would have dashed, like Rav Yaakov, that no, we're going to get the Schar in the next world, and this world we're just getting purified, but we're not getting Schar, he would have never gone off. So therefore, there's a tremendous meila of dashing like Rav Yaakov. Let's see Rashi.
Yeah, but he would have been, if it's not a reward, he wouldn't have, this to happen to him, it's possible because why? Because
we don't get scared in this world. And maybe like Abaye said, Yom Tavi Yom Bish, or like a Rakhine said, there's no reward in this world. And you're going to get reward in the next world. So then it must be he had some of it, right? Something he had to be purified from. So therefore Hashem caused this to happen, that way he won't have any Gehenna. Listen, most of us have to go to Gehenna, and this is going to maybe be his final purification. He was a tremendous tzaddik. He was one of the Asara Arugei Malchus. So let's take a look at Rashi. But Amar Blazer.
That wouldn't have bothered him then.
Yeah, the Hechem Rindu of Yaakov Meisach Chaza, Ech Elech, Avgav de Beshlichusa, de Mokam, have a Mestafi Meizeka de Kfiya. Even though Hashem is giving him a direct Shlichus to anoint David HaMelech, still he was scared of the hezek, which was likely and common. El Moli Darshi Acher Aikra, if Acher would have Darshan, Dilma Nitavach Oilam Haba, and not in Oilam Haza, Loi Chot, he wouldn't have gone off, because he wouldn't have had any cash from the fact that good things are happening to, the bad things are happening to good people. The Unamiki Agavna Chaza, he also saw this type of Maisa. Amar Ein Schar Ba'olam Yatzatav Esrei. He said it can't be right then when you're doing the two mitzvahs that are supposed to give you good and yet bad is happening to you at that mamish time. Davar Acher is a Chazer. So he says is that if you go with Rav Yaakov, that would have saved Acher. Okay, Zak Tigmar a little right there. Rami Rav Tuvi by Rav Kisna L'Rava. Rav Tuvi by Rav Kisna asked the Stira. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kolo Isa Mitzvah Achas. Our Mishnah says if you do one mitzvah.
The Holocaust, people saw so many.
It wasn't just the fact that bad things happen to good people. It was the juxtaposition of the fact that while you're doing the mitzvah, the Torah says will be good for you, and yet bad, and the ultimate bad of death happened then. Acher had a tremendous insight. We shouldn't judge him.
I'm not judging at all. So what I'm saying is, how is it then people were there in the Holocaust, they saw horrible things happening, and they still were able to, these people were great, I kind of understand, how are you able to see all these things happening and still stay with Emunah?
Yeah, but Baruch Hashem, they're a big tzaddikim by the Holocaust. But for now, I think it's a little off topic. Let's try to go right. Yeah, but Baruch Hashem, people had tremendous, and sometimes a pasuk of the yid could have a munah pshuta more than a big talmud chacham that thinks things through. But that's something to think about another time. Rami Rav Tuvi by Rav Kisna L'Rava. Rav Tuvi bar Kisna asked Rava, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kolo Isa Mitzvah Achas, if you do one mitzvah, Mativin Loi, Asa In, Loi Asa Loi. If you do one extra mitzvah, then it will be good. But it's mashma from the Mishnah, asa. If you did the mitzvah, then it'll be good for you. Loy asa, but if you didn't do the mitzvah, then loy, then you won't be able to get to become a tzaddik. For a minute, I'll ask you a stira. Yashav loy aver avera. What about if I didn't do the mitzvah? All I did was I sat and I didn't do avera. Still, that's a tremendous mitzvah of not doing a mitzvah, just not doing an avera. Noisim loy schar, but kais a mitzvah. The fact that I did not do an avera, I could also get a reward. So the Gemara is asking, you don't have to actually do a mitzvah, you could not do an avera, and that itself is a tremendous mitzvah. In fact, we're going to see Rashi soon, that might be the biggest mitzvah is not doing an avera. So why does our mission say you have to do a mitzvah? All you have to do is not do an avera, and that also should be counted as a mitzvah. Amar lei, Rava answered, Hasam gun shabad dvar avera liyadei. Stumbly, the fact that right now I'm not eating chazer and I have no nesoyin to eat chazer, then I have to do a mitzvah. But in a chanami, in the case that a dvar avera baliyodeo, I have a big nesoyin, I know a really juicy piece of lush, shenhara, I have an enemy, and dvar avera comes to my hand and I have a perfect opportunity to really say lush and hara on him, and I hold myself back. And I get saved. In such a case, that's a tremendous mitzvah. But if you have no real opportunity and no real taiva to do that avera, then you will not get reward for not doing averas unless you actually go ahead and do a mitzvah. Dr. Ashi, Hasam should bud dvar aver liyadei. Hahu yoshev loyav aver dekamer netel aschai. This that it says that just not doing anything, you'll still get schar. It's got to be that you had an assayin for kafir yitzray, and I overcame my yitzray hara. For over then, a mitzvah yisera mizu. That could be even more. You have one guy buying, putting on tzitzit, tremendous mitzvah. One guy shaking lulav, tremendous mitzvah. It could be even a bigger mitzvah. If you have a real assayin and you overcome it, that itself. In mitzvah yisir mizu and avada, that will be a tremendous chayr, and that could be the tiebreaker into making you a tzaddik.
Why is it aim mitzvah yisir mizu? Because it's harder to overcome the yitzhak hara than to do a mitzvah.
Right. Yeah. So the Gemara is going to now bring down a series of meisim of people that overcame tremendous nesiyanis. Ki hodur of chanina.
Very difficult for a person who has.
Yeah. If you're in a matzav of nesayin, it's very hard to overcome. Maaseh Hashem created a certain taiva. Hashem made us have taivas, and then if you're in a matzav of that taiva, and you know, so it's very hard. So the Gemara is going to show some maaseh that people with superhuman strength overcame their taivas. Ki hadur chanina bar papi. There's a certain matronisa, a very powerful, noble lady, that was tevea him, please come be mezana with me. So A, you have the natural taiva, and B, you have a sort of het there, because she was like threatening to kill him. If not, so Luchari had a tremendous taiva to go ahead and be mezana. Amr Milsa, so instead he said, Shem Hashem, Umoli Nafshe Shechna Vekiva. And then he created that he was filled with boils and scabs, and he looked disgusting, and therefore she wouldn't want to be Madonna with him anymore. Of the He Milsa, but she also knew witchcraft. And Vitase says she did some witchcraft and got rid of all those boils and scabs. Arak Tasha Behu Bebani. So then he ran away from her and started hiding in Beis HaMerchatz. And this Beis HaMerchatz was very dangerous because there were lots of mazikin there. There were so many mazikin, the Chihavu Island betrayed. Even if two people would go together, Afil Biyamama. So even though by two people, usually the mazikin don't start off. And also they don't start up usually during the daytime, they start up during the nighttime. But over here, there's so many mazikin that even if you have two people, and even during the day, have a mitaski, still you would get damage. And the ma'aseh, he didn't get damage. L'machar, the next day, Amrulei Rabban Manatra, who protected you? Everyone that goes in there gets damaged. So who protected you? Amrulehu, he said to them, I had a nace. What was the nace? Shnei noisei keseh shamruni kalalaila. There were two people that carried the kelim of the Caesar, and they guarded me the whole night from the Mazik. And Amr Lei, how were you zecha for such a nace? Shem Devar Erva Bal Yadcham and Salte Manu. Did you have a tremendous taiva for an erva, and yet you overcame your teva and you got saved? The Tanina Kol Abadvar Erva Liyadi Mida Kenegem Mida. If you have a natural taiva and you overcome your teva, Venitlay Manu Oisin Leinei. So just Hashem says, just like you overcame your teva, so too I'll be miskaver on teva, and I'll do a nace for you in order to save you. The Gemara brings in other similar mice into this. It says, let's just see the bottom three Rashis. Tvatil is nus. Tasha means nitman. He hid. Havamitaz kishamitzuyim boy mazikin. There's so many mazikin that they would damage.
He's mostly kaser. Then he protect him from the shading.
Yeah. How exactly does that work? Yeah. That's what we're saying. That it was some sort of niche. Where they appear from? Why were they protecting him? How did they protect him? Yeah.
By virtue of being more people in a bathhouse than one.
Yeah. So in general, mazikin. Right. In general, it's more dangerous to go as a yachid than as a tzibur, and the mazikin.
He
read
the
Ben Yehada,
really, they were
Malachi. Yeah. They appeared like nice there. Yeah, but like, who were they?
He knew they were.
Yeah, I'm assuming both he knew and they knew, but he didn't want to boast that.
Having this protection, that in Kaddishu of Yaakov's? Behind.
No, so that's why I said that. Over here, it's me, the Kanegamida. Over there, he wasn't overcoming his Tava. My dad told me to go do Shulch HaKan, and I did it, but over here that I overcame my Tava. What?
This is Schar in this world. Is he getting Schar in this world?
I mean, Hashem does Nisim.
Yeah, is it Schar or no? Is it Schar or not?
You're saying is it Hagana or
Schar?
You're asking. I thought you were asking that we said before that Bashlucha Mitzvah could get damaged and Hashem won't do Nes. So that I was saying because you overcame your Teva. You're asking, is this a Schar? Yeah, I guess it sounds like a Schar. So I guess the thing is that just because the Torah says that when the Torah. Well, all Rabbi Yaakov said is that when the Torah says in the Pasuk, Almanan Yerichon Yamecha, it's not referring to Olam Had. The Torah doesn't write, we'll give you Schar. But Avada, there is Ashkacha Pratis. I don't think Rav Yaakov could disagree with the fact that there are Meisim, Hashem does Ashkacha Pratis. Rav Yaakov agreed that there was a Kriyas Yamsef. There are thousands and millions of Meisim. He's saying that there's no Schar, that the Torah won't say you have a Schar and he'll give you in this world. But the fact that Hashem has a plan, and maybe part of Hashem's plan is that you shouldn't die and you should live. But yeah, I don't think Rabbi Yaakov is disagreeing with the fact that Hashem has a plan.
I thought we had before. It was having a big zocher for that's considered a schar, no? Is that having Hashem protect you, is that a schar?
Yeah, yeah, yes, it is considered a schar. Yeah, it's definitely. Every good that Hashem does.
This contradicts that.
No, he's just saying that when the Torah says Leman Yerichon Yamecha, it could be you won't get any schar in this world, because the Torah never meant that you would get schar. But Hashem could give you schar in this world, it's just Hashem doesn't have to. That's all Rabbi Yaakov said. Rabbi Yaakov said is that when the Torah says schar, it's referring to the next world. But could Hashem decide for whatever Hashem's, you know, that we can't understand what Hashem, he's not saying that you can't be. Rabbi Yaakov is not saying it's not that can't have something good.
He's explaining his cheshbon. That if you overcome your desire, you're going to get rewarded. You get miracles are going to happen for you.
Right, yeah.
That undermines the concept there's no reward in this world.
No, but Hashem doesn't have to. If Hashem is part of his plan, wants it to happen, he could do it. And if he wants, Hashem could just give you all your reward in Olam Haba. Hashem is not telling you he will give you a reward in this world. He can, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Rabbi Yaakov is not disagreeing that, hey, if you dive into Hashem, maybe he'll save you, right? Rabbi Yaakov is not anti-tfilah. He's not anti the fact that Hashem can be matzil you. And it could be what convinced Hashem to do it is the fact that you were misgaber. He was just saying, is Hashem's not telling you that you'll get reward in this world. Hashem's just telling you you'll get reward in the next world. In this world, you don't know. Maybe you will, maybe you won't.
Appreciate
that. Oh, yeah, what?
We are really entering into Alice in Wonderland when Humpty Dumpty says words mean whatever I want them to mean. Scar seems to have 14 different meanings in 14 different people. The scar would, in the simplest level, would be an intervention, a divine intervention, which the products of one action do not necessarily lead to the other thing, such as getting some birds and getting a rhesus yummy. These two are not connected. We see, for instance, that the whole concept of a shliach mitzvah is something which is a divine intervention. In the Tchachas, take a look in the Tchachas, when people are taking the mesim out of Yerushalayim and they're killed by the people besieging Yerushalayim. I mean, it's the farish, it's the pasuk in the Bible, where the idea of someone who is on the way for a mitzvah, which is one thing, is protected, which is another thing, and that is revoked during these times. It's in the, you know, it's in the Bible.
But since A doesn't equal B, there's no guarantee everywhere.
In this case, we are talking about something which is presented by Chazal as Teva. And what's presented by Chazal as Teva is that when someone starts to go in a direction, that the Rabbanu Shalom opens that direction up to him. And in this case, the initial action, the results do follow, that he goes out of his way to avoid an avera, and he is enabled in so doing. It's a very different thing than shluach and kain, than schar. I would caution that schar is something where the reward does not necessarily follow. This is something where one footstep follows another, and unless one is drunk, that is generally the case.
Okay.
It is a divine ordinance, as is everything. I mean, the Ari says, the Pharisee, that there is no such thing as Teva. Everything is Teva.
Okay.
I want to ask a question
also. Okay, yeah, sure.
Going up this ladder, pushing up the cane, was that a mitzvah of Baba Vera because he used a dangerous ladder? Did that nullify the mitzvah?
That's an interesting case. I mean, if it was a sulam ru'uah, so then why was he allowed to do it?
That's all he had.
So...
is that enough? That's all he had? That's not enough?
This was right. I guess so. Yeah, I hear that's an interesting question. I have to think about it. I guess you'd have to say it was in between. I mean, it wasn't that dangerous, and most times it would work out, but it was likely, there was likely enough famine.
The Kaviyah Hezekah. So
Kaviyah Hezekah. What does it mean, Kaviyah Hezekah? It means 90% or it means 5%? I'm not so sure. It means that there was a definite risk. I mean, I had a Rosh Hashiva that held that going to learn in Eretz Yisrael during the Intifada, he felt it was Kfir Zeka, and therefore he didn't recommend it. He didn't stop anyone from going, and most of the Bachram did go, but he wouldn't recommend it. He felt it was Kfir Zeka. Yeah, so but it's an interesting question that L'chair, maybe that itself was an Avera, and in that case...
we know for sure that, according to the story, he did get Olam Haba. He got Tchar.
Yeah. The understanding was that there was a mitzvah, and even though it was Kviya Hezekah, but it was Mutter, and it was not Aser. I mean, people take risks all the time, right? And you could go on the sailboat in order to get Parnassa. If you need food, you're allowed to take reasonable risks.
This was not necessarily going to happen.
It wasn't like a case of 90% risk. It just means there was some sort of risk, which was
his father.
What?
Could he have said no?
If it was too risky, he could have said no. I guess in this case, it was more appropriate to do it because the risk was small enough, even though it's Kfir Zeka, but it was reasonable enough to do it. Okay, good point though. Excellent point. Yeah.
The Gemara deals specifically with that question in the first parak in Brachos, when one of the Amoraim goes into Davin in a ruin, and Eliyahu Hanavi comes and says to him, "You should not have done that." Yeah, the discussion is right there.
Okay. Okay, right. The Gemara is going to bring down another mace. Gibur, Gibur, Koyach, Oisei Devarai. l'shmaya b'kol dvarei. You have a gvura of koyach to listen to Hashem. What's a mashal of someone who's a giber koyach that could overcome its teva in order to go ahead and serve Hashem? K'gon Rav Tzadik v'chaverev, like Rav Tzadik, that they use their koyach to be miskaver on their yetzer hara. What's this ma'isa? Rav Tzadik also tivat. A certain matronisa was tevea him to be mezana. So he tried to make excuses. He didn't want to be mezana. So he said, I'm too weak and I don't have the koyach to do it. Do you have anything to eat to strengthen me? We also know about Rav Tzadik that he fasted for 40 years. Well, the only food I have around me is a davar tamei, let's say a chazer. Amar lo, my nafkamina. So Tzadik said to her, what's the difference? Obviously, the avid ha, obviously someone that's mezana, achal ha, then he deserves to eat chazer.
This is a goita, right?
Yeah, the bachanisa is a chara goita. So sugar is tanura. She lit the fire in order to cook the davar tamei, the kaman chalei, and she put, let's say, the chazer inside the oven. Solik v'yosef begave. Then Rav Tzadik walked into the oven that she just lit and sat down in the oven. Amalei, my hey, what's going on? What are you doing? Amar lo, the avid ha, nafal baha. He said, yeah, if I'm going to be mezana, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to burn in a much hotter oven in Gehenna. Amar lo, yadi kuhi hai, if I realize that your mom is willing to jump in the fire to avoid being mezana with me, lo tziarticha, I would never have been tevea you. And she allowed him to escape. Dr. Ashi, kagoin rib tzadik, shalovash koyach. He was misgaber on himself. Luck of Yitzhak misgaber b'chafsi koine. That way he wouldn't have to be mezana with her. So he would love his koyach to mamash jump into the fire. Amar my nafkamina. What does that mean? My nafkamina. The ha milsa. The loy medam and li el maicha tami. What's the difference that all I got to eat was davar tami? Yishli loma mikan. I see from this story. The Ovid, hey, someone that does this, Habayl Aramis, I'm going to be mezana with a goita, with an Aramis, Reilu Meichel Tamei. Obviously, I deserve to eat a Meichel Tamei. Sugar's tenura.
Was that someone who, what?
Someone who, he's saying, obviously, we see that Hashem feels that if I'm willing to be mezana with a goy, so I deserve also to eat a chazer. Sugar's tanura, oisa ramis, he seekas a tanner, that going to lit the fire in order to cook the food, looks like davar tamisham. The ishug doila hoisa, shein yachol ipati manas. Dr. Rashi, and both of these maisim, why don't they just say no? I don't want to be mezana with you. Why do they have to do all these crazy things? Obviously, she was a very powerful lady, and I wasn't able to say no. Moser biyad lahargoy. And she very likely would have said no. Off with your head. So obviously there was no option to just say no. So therefore they had to do these wild things.
What did you do? Off with your head and jumping in a fire, you know? Kill, suicide.
So we know that we have ma'asim that Hashem, I mean, don't try this at home, but if you're a big enough tzaddik, sometimes you could get thrown into a fire and not get burned. It's easier for Hashem to save you from a teva than for Hashem to save you from the bechira of another person. And also, perhaps he was hoping that when she saw, she would allow him to come out before. As she was putting the davar tamei there, nafal b'habar shel gehenim. He says, I deserve to fall into gehenim for being mezana with a goy. So she said back,
he was not mezana.
He was miskaber, and he was not mezana. He jumped in the fire before. He said, I need to eat something before I'll be mezana, and before the food was ready, he jumped in the fire, and then she realized, you know, she's not going to get anywhere with him.
It's a misleading her to believe that she will eat the tamei and then he will be mezana with her.
No, this was all part of his plot to save himself. He knew he couldn't tell her no, but he didn't want to do it. Why should she have the right to do it? So this was part of his plan, that when he chaps this was his plan.
person. Well, in my tzaddikim, who was the, I'm trying to remember who the one of Chazal was, who put his foot next to the snake's hole and said it's not the snake which kills, it's the sin which kills. And in both of these, they did remain sinless. They did remain sinless. Who was the...
So that's the Gemara, yeah. I forgot the name right now also.
Last pair of Tanis.
Okay, fine. Rav Kahana Hava Kamad Vindikuli. Rav Kahana was selling baskets to the ladies for them to put their perfumes and stuff in there. Tavati Ahi Machunisa, once again, that Machunisa that he couldn't say no to was to bear him to be Mazana.
This is a common thing back then. Everyone's getting propositioned by these ladies doing this.
I don't know, everyone. It happens to be that Rav Kahana was one of the most beautiful people the Chazal bring down, and he actually used to like try to like put on makeup to like disfigure himself or put mud or stuff on his face. That way they wouldn't. But apparently by this Matronisa, it didn't work. I don't know if it did to everyone, but apparently, yeah, there was apparently a lot of snus going around in those days. So Tavati Ahi Matronisa, Amrila, Ezel Ikasha Nafshoi. He said, let me beautify myself, because right now I look pretty ugly, because he purposely made himself look ugly. So he said, before Mazana, let me freshen up. So meanwhile, and the real reason that he was trying to do that was he was trying to buy time. So Solik v'kanofa me'igra la'ara. And she said, sure, and then he went up to the roof and jumped off in order not to do the avera. And Pashat Chadi would have died, but Baruch Hashem as Elio and Kabli. Elio quickly came and caught him before he landed on the ground. This was clearly a Maase Nisim. Amalei atrachten arba mea parsi. And Elio and Navi told Rav Kahana, you were matriach me, that I had to quickly run 400 parsa in the time of you falling from the roof to the ground in order to save you. I'm like, me garmly, what caused me to be in this circumstance that I had to be near ladies that they could be to their mitzvahs, lavan yusas? Because listen, Nebuch, I need money. I'm a tremendous ani, and the only way I can make money is by selling to ladies, and therefore that's putting me at risk. So therefore, Elio Hanavi said, you're right, Yavle Shifa de Dinari. So Elio Hanavi told him where there's a Shifa, some sort of kli filled with dinarim. He told him where it's hidden, and he was able to find it, and then he had enough money that he didn't have to do this business with ladies. So if anyone's going into business, it's kedai to try not to go into a business that will make you always deal with ladies. Zot Rashi. Atrachtan, I skipped the Rashi, Dikuli, Salam, Shanoshim, Noshim, Shampalchem, his business was selling these baskets to the ladies. Atrachtan, Shayisim, Makam, Achar, Rochet, Dalad, Meis, Parsi. The other one was 400 Parsa away, and you made me quickly run here. So he said, it's not my fault, it's Lavan, I guess maybe he's giving a muster, you shouldn't be selling to ladies. So he said, well, it wasn't my choice, Lavan Yusuf, it's me, I'm Loya Nias, if not for the fact that I need money, Loya Tzrachti, Lias Iski Blachas Nashim, I don't want to deal with the Nashim. So Elion Anavi said, you're right, and he showed him a Shifa, Shem Kli, it's some sort of Kli, Dinari, which was filled of Dinari Zehuvim, of golden coins, and now he had enough money that he didn't have to do such a bizarre job. Romile Reveler of Nachman. Yeah.
Did you see anyone comment as the difference between this Maisa and Revel Elizabeth Gus? And, do I have to turn the world back into water?
No, I think over there the plan was that he should be poor, and over here, apparently you could be poor and then daven and then eventually get rich. So whatever the plan was, originally the plan was for Kana to be poor, and now it wasn't connected the plan to do it, as opposed to Rabbi 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 Padas. Yeah, I didn't see anyone, but I'm sure there's always more stuff. But yeah, but I definitely think that there are people that could get rich. But it's not going to get rich through Maase Nisim, so that's why some of Farshim say that he just showed him where the money was hidden. It's not that he like took from his Chayla Haba and gave him a golden leg of the table or something like that.
Outside
650. Okay, we'll stop here. What do I hit? Star
9.
Star 9.